Cthulhu presents The Call of Cthulhu Campaign, Curse of Nineveh, by Mike Mason, Mark Latham, Scott Dorwood, Paul Fricker, Andrew Kenrick. So we are still in London, and a group of people went to, a group of us went to a museum, still being followed by others, managed to bribe the curator of the British Museum. Seems like a long shot. Not something I would think you would want a museum curator to be so easily bribable, but hey, it's not my museum. What do I care? And managed to get a meeting with Mr. Thompson, who apparently was not so difficult to find as perhaps we had once thought. Yes, they went to the Temple of Nabu. Yes, they went and recovered, acquired, brought a number of artifacts from the temple back to their proper and natural resting place at the museum and in the homes of various collectors, no doubt, and stole Mr. Thompson's journal, because that's a thing that you do, of course. I don't think the journal has been read or discussed yet. Probably not relevant at all. Otherwise, we had previously found Mr. Simpkin, Peter, who had sent a letter to the fellow who Roger had previously found murdered. He's crazy. People are watching his house. Whatever. Doesn't seem to be too relevant. Back at the club, the police are on to us. Oh no. But they're apparently going to be helpful, maybe. We can drop the name of the police detective if we need to do so for some reason. Unclear yet what good that will do us if we start running around London saying that we're operatives of Scotland Yard or something. That might be a bit exchange or a bit extreme, but you know, that sounds like something we would do. So yeah, people are acquainted with the access to the temple and the liberating of artifacts therefrom are being killed, possibly by two different groups, as Kitty thinks. And Roger's home has been ransacked.
Okay,
so of course the most important part of the whole thing.
Slight modifications there. I'm not sure how there were any bribes given to Patrick Longton, the curator. There was a bit of a back and forth between them, but there seemed to be mutual respect.
There was an attempted bribe, wasn't there?
Attempted bribe.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, attempt, but not successful.
You were very clear that role that I made, which shouldn't have gone well, was pivotal because he was going to be recurring. Yeah.
Right, but it had more to do with sort of a feeling than a bribing, I thought. But that's okay.
Yeah, it turns out museum curators are every bit as respectable as Jim thinks they should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was not the detective who said, oh, go ahead and use my name. He said, go ahead and contact him if there's a situation. But it was the club president, Bluffstone, who said, if it's helpful to drop my name, which has some weight, feel free to do so.
Ah, yes.
So that you're not...
Honestly, honestly, what I heard is the cops were behind us 100%.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that is what you heard.
Yeah.
That was not necessarily what was said, but that may be what you heard. It's my wife frequently accuses me of. I know what you think you heard, but that's not what was said. and there were two items on there that the listeners at home would not have heard, which were that Kitty... Kitty rolled well and realized there was two different groups doing murders out there, and that poor Roger's home was ransacked. So let us start there, and I guess we'll start with Roger, because as correctly pointed out, the ransacking of his home is, of course, the pivotal moment of the entire two-hour episode.
I just walk in the door and, oh, look, stuff is thrown about.
Yeah, no, it's a mess. People seem to have just torn through your house looking, or as if they were looking for something. Boxes are overturned. If you had papers in nice piles, they've been, you know, looks like someone sort of did that thing where they sort of pulled the paper out, looked at it, threw it on the floor after they looked at it. If you had things stored underneath your bed, they've been pulled out from under the bed with all the dust bunnies that accompany them. Sorry, that's unfair to accuse Roger of, but yeah.
Job of the maid, thank you very much.
Yep, no, I understand.
Apparently, if that's the case, do one. That, I think, answers what my first question was going to be, and that is, Roger would take a moment to kind of look around and see, he's just going to assume that there's nothing actually missing or important missing. Do you have anything important?
That's true. Roger does not find anything that he thinks is valuable missing.
But he would certainly look around and see if there is some indication of kind of generally what kind of thing they might have been looking for. If they were looking for something that was bigger than a bread box, they're never going to look in the bread box.
Sure.
In all the little small boxes and drawers, then they're looking for something smaller. If they're searching through papers, maybe they're looking for papers, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it doesn't look like they were looking necessarily for a specific item, bigger than a bread box type thing. It is, your sock drawer is messed up, but, it's not, they clearly weren't looking for socks. They were looking in the sock drawer in case something was stored in the sock drawer type thing. And there was a lot of effort. Does Roger have an office of some sort?
Of course.
That is the center of the maelstrom.
Well, it will take some time to get these patient notes back in order. Let's lay the next book. Roger will then summon probably first aid service and the police in that order.
It's not a problem at all. You could contact your... How rich is, what is Roger's credit rating?
It's reasonably high.
Does Roger have in-house staff?
No.
No, okay. It's not a problem for you to ring up or to get a message out to the staff. And to also call the police. The police will come and ask you if anything was stolen. Upon hearing nothing was stolen, they will continue to take notes, but not be as interested.
Having arranged all that, he will then arrange someplace else to stay for the night, whether that means a room at the club or at the hotel, whatever.
Not a problem.
You could always stay with Connor. I have room on the couch.
Room at the club or an appropriate hotel.
Not a problem.
Jim, are you far away from the microphone?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I was so just better. Turning my volume up because I was thinking it was me, and now he's yelling in my ear. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
No. It's lovely to hear your voice in the new year. All right. So, yes, it is not a problem to get a room in the club. You wake up in the club the next day. What are other people doing the next day?
Calling the maid service to make sure that they are on the case.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, it's quite a mess. We brought over a couple of our gals to do it.
And when do they expect to have it everything put back together?
Oh, by noon, sir. No later than noon.
Noon. Well, I don't have to cancel my morning appointments. Or perhaps have them here. No. I won't just cancel them.
We could focus on your office downstairs, sir. Do the upstairs and
That's fine. That's fine. Those people can wait a few more. Can wait till next week.
Well, whatever you say, sir. Whatever you say.
Breakfast, cigars, cognac.
Of course.
A steak.
Breakfast of champions.
All right, I'll just wait and see where the others show up.
Yeah, the notes don't provide the normal, here's what we're going to do next, so.
Yeah, we didn't make a plan. We were confronted by the police and then went home, I thought.
Yep.
It feels like, I don't know, for whatever reason, my brain's just full of mush and fog, like it's been weeks since I've last thought about this case.
Weeks and weeks.
I don't know whether there's any... Is there anything that we really want to do other than... Well, I know Kitty really wants to follow these people.
We have to find them first. Oh, I got a plate number, a registration number from the car that was outside of Simpkins' home. Did I give it to the policeman when he confronted us?
Yes, you did. You did. And you will get a note back at the club saying that the car was a rental car. They interviewed the person who gave out the car, and it was rented by two foreign men, and that it was returned last night.
Do they give us their names?
Yes, they do.
But they don't mean much,
names. They sound, you know, foreign to you, but not necessarily. I mean, it's a big world out there. There's not like, oh, well, they must be coming from so-and-so. And certainly Kitty's suspicions that they gave fake names is probably not unrealistic.
Mm-mm. Well, I guess there's Knave's Uncle Thomas, but he was far away.
And the GM has kindly informed us that he's irrelevant to the plot, so...
Sir, not appearing in this story.
I'm just trying to think where we were being watched. So we were being watched, or rather, the greasy antiques dealer was being watched.
Yeah, he was being watched. We were watched before we went there, to the museum for our meeting. That we lost them, but then they knew we were going there, so they caught up to us afterwards.
So it's not unrealistic to expect if we just revisited some of the places we've been, we might encounter them again. Perhaps lead them on a little chase and then...
No, we... you know, maybe we could.
Are you all sort of going back to the club again? Are you
meeting? Oh, I assume we're having this conversation at the club. Sorry if that was incorrect assumption.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I didn't know if you're out of character or inner character, but I just wanted to
check. Is this like a
set up a bait situation where we split up and get someone to be followed and we follow behind that, and maybe we could get some information out of the people following us?
Now we suspect they're looking for the statues, right? And did we put that in the bank?
Yes.
So what we could do is we could visit the bank and come out with a very heavy seeming bag.
We should go to a different bank and not the real bank.
Well, I mean, something like that. But make them think that we've taken it out of the bank, taken it somewhere else.
Yeah.
That would certainly get their attention, wouldn't it?
I mean, we could. I mean, seems likely if someone took it to their house or apartment, we could, you know, they might try and ambush or steal it in the night and be waiting for them.
Let me add a few pieces of color to your conversation. One, Connor, there's a package for you.
Oh my, must be for mother.
It is not. It is a curated list of Lord Brighton's items as you requested.
Of course it is. Not even Christmas anymore.
It's clear in your scanning that list that he has traveled the world. His artifacts are from all over. Either he's traveled the world or he's purchased things from all over. But most of them seem to be, you know, personal items which he's recovered from various. So, you know, he was part of the Major Cornelius excursion into Africa and the Winston Allard excursion into Africa. He owned multiple Assyrian items, including items from the 1903 expedition. But he only had one item from the 1919 expedition, and that was the statue that is missing.
This seems significant.
I believe it is. There was back and forth about who it was going to be, but I think it's all of your names. So I think I'll just say, Maud, Sykes will appear and say there's a phone call for you.
Oh, thank you. I'll take it in the booth.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Good, good. This is Nigel Covington. I wanted to let you know that wanted to know if you were going to follow up with the paperwork.
The paperwork?
Yes, your cousin was here yesterday looking to get into your box. It's against policy to do so without a letter from you or one of the other co-signees.
Yes. I will be by presently, but no, you should absolutely follow all protocol. I appreciate greatly your attention to detail, and that is why I chose your bank.
Yes, ma'am. Well, again, if your assistant comes with a signed letter, we will take care of it for you.
Yes. No, I would only come in person.
I'll make a note.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And the last piece of color I'll add is that Dame Agatha arrives. She, again, this is the second morning where she looks worse for the wear.
Oh.
And she will complain that will not complain. Dame Agatha does not complain. She will intone that she had another sleepless night, but will not go into any details, even if pressed. Simply saying that her sleep was not as restful as she would like.
What about you, Montgomery? Did you also have bad dreams again? No, he's not here.
No, Mr. Montgomery will say that he had that one night, but then he was fine after that.
Interesting. Well, they know which bank it's in. Did try to get it in a peaceful manner, but not sure.
Now remember, there's probably two groups out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be only one group that knows we have it in the bank.
Well, maybe both groups do, but only one group will take the peaceful approach. They've shown they're willing to murder.
Well, yeah, I guess let me point out that the violent approach would be a bank robbery. That I'm sure they have the resources for such a thing. It will become, I think, very useful if we figure out more about the two groups so we can tell them apart, their motivations and whatnot. Not sure how to do that. Seems like your plans of surprising them in the middle of burglary would entail much violence on our part. Not sure I'm the man for that, but that is very wise. There's already been several murders that we know. But it is a plan, and that's more than I have.
I just can't think of anything else. Is there anyone we haven't spoken to? What are we even trying to? What's our overall goal?
I will say that we have noted in the clues and leads, there's two or three things in there that we want to talk to the police about, and we do have a police contact now. So that could be something.
Yeah. Well, we could certainly go and visit them first. If they're happy to talk.
And there is a research task in there as well. So,
yeah, I mean, I feel like we keep, you know, trying to research about Naboo and not coming up with anything for whatever reason.
Well, it's because I have not gone to do the research yet, my dear.
We can narrow the area. No, sorry.
Yeah, and if you would like to brace the people that have been following us, there is a very easy way to do so, because we know that they are also watching Mr. Simpkin.
Oh, we sent the police call to Mr. Simpkin, don't you remember?
Sorry, what was that?
You got a bonus to whatever because you sent the police over to Mr. Simpkin.
Yeah.
He's not there anymore, is what you're saying.
Oh, he has already been sent away. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, good.
I mean, we're probably all being watched. We could probably just go outside and wave at our watchers.
Well, as far as research goes, I believe this letter shows that it's only the 1919 expedition we need to concern ourselves with as far as further research and whatnot. So I believe, do we have something that we have some rough outline of the difference in the 1919 expedition versus the earlier one, right? As far as where they were? Am I wrong about that, or was this talk?
No, you do. You know that they clearly went to Nineveh in 1909 or 1903.
Yes.
Yes. And they looked around. And by now, I'm sure, who has the journal of Reginald Thompson?
I think it was Montgomery.
I'm sure Montgomery will tell you that he went through the journal last night and that he found out that it was a very small group that went to 1919. And essentially what they had found, they found what they thought was the temple in the earlier expedition, but covered it back up again.
Right.
Right. Kind of like the Indiana Jones thing. I remember discussing this.
And then they went back again in 1919, found the temple. There was a series of mishaps and uncomfortable situations, and that they were confronted a number of times by the locals, including their last day there, which involved a mad dash to try to get away from an attack on their camp, which involved some of the people of the expedition leading, and the group that visited Simpkins will recognize some of the names that Simpkins talked about. So it was a much more secretive journey because they were concerned about relationships with the Iraqi government, which were frayed at the moment.
And that, of course, are not responsible enough with their own antiquities to be trusted.
Well, we won't go into that.
No, I'm saying, let me be clear, dear listener, that is a reflection of the thinking at the time and not the opinions of the players of the Sky for Cthulhu podcast. I have nothing to do with such thoughts. Disclaimer made.
Good. That'll protect us from the lawsuit.
That's right. Or the eggs being thrown at our houses or whatever, where the righteous anger comes
from. If you want to reach Steve, his address is...
Yeah.
excellent. So are there other questions?
Well, okay. I do have one. There are three statues, one that we have, the fish-tailed bloody statue that Nev had that she gave to Glossop and is missing.
And another Naboo statue that the original murdered guy had.
Brightman.
Yeah.
So Brightman has one from the expedition. There is another statue out there that Nev had, but you don't have a sense. That doesn't seem to have anything to do with the expedition.
But we don't really know where it came from.
You don't. It's almost like it was a side story unrelated to what we're talking about here.
Okay, so there.
It's almost like that. Almost like a distraction.
There are two statues here, one that we have that Glossop gave to Nev, and
yes,
then that was stolen from Lord Brightman's.
Yes.
This list from the valet, did it include a description?
Brightman's butler, the catalog?
Yes. There's a brief description of all the items, sure. A sentence, mm-hmm. It's a standard sort of like, here's what the item is, a sentence description so you could find it. But he didn't, he wasn't won over by the two of you so much that he was going to write out a long, long detailed summary.
Right. But
should have given him more money. Clearly, that's what the man wants.
Money.
Yeah, you tried. It was bad. Don't do that. But does it seem like it matches the statue we have?
No. No. It's similar in the sense of it's Naboo based, but it's not the same statue as the one you have.
Okay. So we have two groups. We have two statues. We have two expeditions.
This episode was brought to you by the number two. One little statue. Two little statues.
So to follow on this thought or these thoughts or whatnot, is there anything or any thoughts perhaps that we may have had? The 1919 expedition is the one that things seem to be swirling around in the catalog that was given to us by Collins the butler. Is trying to get the facts out, prove it I'm paying attention. Is there anything else from the 1919 expedition or merely the statue that was mentioned?
From the notes that you received?
Yeah, from Collins.
Yeah, it seems Brightman only brought back one item.
And that was the one that was thrust into us.
Yes, by the person, the cursed item. Attention, yeah. If you believe in such things.
Right. Okay. So, that's what to keep out for, or keep an eye out for, then, is the stuff from this.
Okay, how about this tack? So we know that the greasy guy had a list of items that were stolen from the museum, yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we showed that list to the museum curator. If we're going to go to the cops, should we, I don't know, do something with that or all these things on the list from the 1919 expedition?
We did tell the curator about the greasy guy, the curio shop owner, having that list in his possession and that it was still there, the original. So I know he said he was going to let the authorities know.
I was gonna say, should we go lean on him? I mean,
I don't, the guy in the curio shop?
Yeah.
I was going to say we can make a quick call to our new friend at the museum as well to see, confirm that this stuff all came back from the 1919 expedition. Because that seems to be the case, right? That this is what people are looking for. That would at least tell us, you know, it narrows down what we're looking for a lot.
Yeah.
But we may have to wait till lunch. It's a bit early over breakfast right now.
All right. I was just thinking that I wonder if he's being watched himself now that we went there, if we can expect something there, go to see if he's being watched. Not, I don't know. I really, like the rest of you, I feel like I'm kind of grasping.
Well, it might be a little dangerous for him, but it also might lead to an exciting chase in the museum. If we go to the, we follow the plan where we go to the bank, come out with a heavy briefcase, and take that to the museum.
Yes.
And see what transpires there. Doesn't have to have anything in it, but... that might be an idea. That seems like a surefire way to get anybody's attention who's watching us. And then we could just ask him in person when it's a coincidence or just true at all that these are the things that were Thompson brought to the museum in 1919.
It is curious to me that Thompson seems to have this stuff swirl around him, but is unaffected. I begin to become very suspect of him.
Is he, what is his status? He's like a lord, right? He's some kind of, or is he just rich? He's some kind of like,
he's untouchable, a sir. Type he's guy. Not a lord.
A he's knight. A
sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got money, and he's, you know, at that time, anybody who was doing a lot of those sort of expeditions and that sort of thing would
be knighted for their efforts.
Knighted for their, you know, valiantly finding new discoveries for right. the glory of the empire.
So maybe that came afterwards. But anyway, that's his deal.
But right, but like everybody else seems to be harried or under attack or dead, and he's just, you know, jolly hoeing in his for crust.
So you think it's an inside job? Maybe we can watch him.
I think he's one of them. Well, I do.
There we go. Maybe we can watch him. If there's anyone good at that. Certainly might want to be a little bit wary if he's noticed that his journal is missing.
I have been known to be stealthy-ish.
You going to bring it back? Oh, you mean to watch him. Yes, that's good. Okay.
So what are people doing? There's been a lot of chit-chatting over tea. Or...
Yes.
Watching Roger eat steak breakfast, smoke some cigars.
My God, man, use a napkin to clean yourself up.
Well,
I'd be willing to go with you. Or anybody else. Maybe we could do both those things. Deliver the case, make some sort of excuse to stay in his office to see if Thompson shows up sometime during the day while someone else watches from the street. Is that too complicated?
Delivering what case? Oh,
the fake case, because that would give Thompson some bait if he's actually with these people. You know what I mean? He wouldn't necessarily, or he wouldn't know about the case. But if he shows up trying to get it, that might be a little clue, or asking about it or something. That might give us some insight into that. So we can watch from the inside and the outside. We can go in shifts once an hour, spell each other, rotating throughout the whole group here, or something else super complicated. Mr.
Thompson, so keeping, I think, people who haven't met him shouldn't meet him yet. That way he doesn't recognize them watching him.
Yeah.
I can't remember who hasn't met him. Have I met him?
The no. group who went to the the shop dealer, this skeezy guy. They didn't meet him because everyone else is. Are they only?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he was definitely there. I can still smell the man. Ugh.
What's the shopkeeper or?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'm willing to go either way. If we do the case to the museum thing, since I'm like a, person who deals with museums and works on museums often, cataloging curator. Things. Curator. Okay, yeah, we'll do that. I wouldn't mind being the one that goes inside the museum. Might make sense. that might be the best way to use me is all I'm saying. But I will go wherever if someone has a better idea.
So let's talk it through here. So Connor, you're going where?
To push the mute button and get off that. Okay. There was an idea bandied about of going to the bank where we have the figurine stored and coming out with a dummy case. And taking that somewhere to see if we're followed at someone's office or something. And I threw out the idea of going to back to the museum and making it a, and seeing if Thompson has, shows any interest in it, to test his, the theory that he might be part of this. So I would be interested in going to the bank with a briefcase very openly and then coming out. And going to the museum. Does anyone want to come with?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could be with you in case anyone tries to jump you or anything.
I certainly would need that help.
So Oswald, go ahead.
I think I'm going to try to watch Thompson's movements, like, secretly, because he doesn't know me. So, perhaps
we could join you. We could just pretend to be taken in the sights at the museum.
Yes, actually, make sure he's going to be there. So perhaps call and set up to meet him there. Otherwise, you show up there and.
Well, he works there, right?
Does he work there? Does he just have an office?
He has an office there. We know that.
I wouldn't say he's an employee that shows up at, you know, 8 or whatever.
Mm.
He has a large office there, but he's, as is the way, he works when he wants to work.
Right.
Mm. Well, I mean, the fact that he would show up if we do the thing where we go to get the case would also give us information, right? I mean, if we don't tell him and he pops in and he's like, oh, hi, how are you doing? By the way, that's a lovely case. You mind if I hold it? Something like that would be pretty incriminating.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So Oswald and Connor are going to the bank with a dummy case and then are going to go to Thompson and see if he reaches for the case thinking it has the statue in it.
Close enough.
Okay. You can modify it. And then, so what I hear is Kitty and Maude are going to go to the museum and try to watch for Thompson.
Yeah.
Okay. Heathcliff.
See if he meets with anyone or, yeah.
Yes.
when you were last a moving figure, You had witnessed an exchange of a transferring of the guard, if you will, over the Bingo and Honoria's house. One gangster sort of came up and had a conversation with the other gangster, who had been on watch. I mean, you assume they're gangsters from the way they sort of carried themselves. Whatever, they're sinister figures. got in a car and drove off. Since then, you've been sort of following in the wake of people. But now that you're fully engaged, what is it you'd like to do next?
Oh, okay, so I'm with the rest of the group?
You are, yes.
Okay, I wasn't totally sure.
Yeah.
I might go with, in terms of, add extra protection for the meeting, because I haven't met this person. So he wouldn't know me. Actually, no, I will go with the others to observe.
All right.
Because I'm not known at this point.
All right, so you're with Kitty and Maude? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yep.
Roger, will you be leaving your chair?
He's going to show us how good he is at research, I believe.
I think that is correct. I'm certainly not going to do any of this running around, sneaking, following people nonsense. I was tempted to see if I could talk to the detective, but yes, I think the research will be first.
All right, well, let's start with you. What research are you doing?
Well, according to the notes, there is more research to be done about Naboo.
I think that we addressed that research. Okay. There was some notes in there. There's something in the little third description of Naboo that's in the notes. I believe that was a Dame Agatha task, and she's entirely too busy to cross things off after she's done things.
Of course. Cross that off, then.
Is there any other type of research you'd like to do?
In that case, I will not do any research since there's no research to be done. Hmm. And just to be clear, Roger doesn't do research. He has people that do research for him.
Understood.
Instead, I will send a message to summon Detective Brindlow to the club because I have things to discuss with him.
Let's sort of do a little whirly bip there. He will show up. He seems very comfortable in the club. Just tells you not to get up. Sykes brings him a cup of tea. He says, "Yes, I understand that your house. There was an unfortunate incident at your house."
Yes, some ruffians, perhaps a former patient. No need to worry about that.
Good, good. Well, what can I do for you?
Well, I was wondering first what you could tell me about Mr. Archie Glossop.
Oh, what is it you'd like to know? Just more details on the case? Or?
I understand he was killed.
Oh, yes, yes. Terrible situation. Let's see. He was working late, and quite late. We believe that Mr. Glossop was doing activities related to his curation. It's not clear why he was working that late, but nevertheless, we believe that the culprit or culprits entered through a service door, and surprised him. Looks as if a struggle took place. Mr. Glossop was killed. Then looks like there was a bit of a tearing apart of items before whoever it was left again through the same service door they came in the first place. There's no witnesses and nothing of that sort. Let's see. Police surgeon says the cause of death was severe blunt trauma to the head. We understand there's been some minor thefts prior to this. There's nothing in there that indicates who the sort of helps determine who gives us a suspect's name. Yes, sir. Any other questions?
And you say blunt trauma. So he was hit over the head. His
yes.
Throat was not cut or something along those lines.
No, not like Brightman, no.
Out of game really quick. So Glossop is the one who gave our statue?
Yes, he gave your statue to Neve. And he is also the one that gave her a list of things that were missing. Neve gave you the statue, but was not sure where her list was. She seems to have lost it somewhere. And Oswald Nichols noticed it while things were going on with the sleazy curator or the sleazy antiquities dealer.
Mm-hmm. But we need to find that list.
You have a copy of the list. It's in the notes.
Oh, we do. Okay, never mind that. Do you know what he was? So his throat was not cut. Do you know what he was working on at the time he was killed?
We don't. He had a number of items that he was supposed to be curating, but he also seemed to be he wasn't found near his station. He was found in one of the storage areas.
One of the storage areas?
Yes. We've spoken to a supervisor, Mr. Longton, who seemed to feel that can't really explain why he was looking around. It's almost as if he was doing an inventory, but that's not necessarily Mr. Glossop's. Not supposed to be Mr. Glossop's primary task.
Sorry, what was his supervisor's name?
Archie Longton, who is the curator who the group met with last time. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I see. Seems unfortunate that a band of ruffians could simply walk into the British Museum, murder a man, and walk back out again.
Well, yes. I mean, obviously, we're looking into it. It's not clear. I mean, it wasn't whoever did this was not a. Was good at what they did. The door was locked. Whoever opened the door had to know how to open a locked door.
Or perhaps the door was opened for them, or perhaps the ruffians weren't actually from the outside. Is there any possibility that he was killed by other museum staff?
It's possible, I suppose. I mean, it would be fairly elaborate. There are scratch marks on the outside of the lock of the service door that was entered, suggesting that someone was trying to pick it. But I suppose if someone was particularly thorough in trying to create such an impression, they could have done it. It's not clear why they wouldn't just come back another time if they wanted to steal something. There was an item stolen, a sort of large Naboo figure.
Oh, really? What can you tell me about that? Is there a description or perhaps an image of it?
And he will describe it. It will look like the Naboo picture that's in the notes. Basically, a seated figure of Naboo with his hands up.
Okay. Let's see. Well, thank you for that. That is in no way useful, I guess, but cross something off our list. He
raises his eyebrow a little bit at that. Well, just so.
If I may ask one other question. Miss Brightman, what can you tell me about his death?
Well, I mean, he was murdered in his bedroom. His valet, Collins, found him the next morning. he was stabbed 37 times in the torso. His neck had been slit and his hands and feet severed. It's presumed that the murder weapon is a sharp knife, approximately 8 to 10 inches in length. And there was a piece of parchment paper found in the deceased mouth.
Anything written upon it?
Yes, it seems to have been written in Lord Brightman's blood. The curse shall find all who have stolen. No sign of entry on the first floor, but the deceased bedroom window was open. It's assumed that that the culprit climbed the drainage pipe that was outside the window to get inside.
And the note would seem to indicate that the killer felt Brightman had stolen something, and that would track with having his hands removed. I believe that is a punishment for theft in certain parts of the world.
Indeed, indeed. And clearly that many stabs suggest it's a crime of some sort of passion, or at least vengeance.
No other leads in that case.
No other leads, no witnesses. Collins slept through the entire event, but he's a somewhat old man with apparently snores loudly, so...
And yet he is the one handling Brightman's estate, I am given to understand.
He is, but he has only a minor part in the will, is my understanding. He's a distant relative from America who is being contacted to potentially receive the news that they are significantly richer than they were previously.
An American?
Yes, Bridgerton or something.
This is Brightman's nearest heir, is this?
Yes, Bridgerton? His wife and son passed away last year in a carriage accident.
The name was Bridgerton?
Bridgerton, yes.
Okay. And he's a widower. Okay. Well, you two have quite a few strange murders on your hand, Detective.
Yes, it's the sort that stands out, and therefore we're very interested in resolving these as soon as possible. I assume that if you're getting close to any significant progress, you'll let me know.
Oh, of course, of course, of course. And, but you do not suspect Mr. Collins at all.
Oh no, not the least. The Collins would again. There's no sign of breaking in, and Brightman's door was unlocked. I suppose. I suppose Collins could do it, but it would be quite a feat. Collins is not a young man. He would have had to completed the murder, chopped up his former employer, and then hid the knife somewhere. It just seems beyond the bounds of credibility.
I would certainly agree, but could Collins have perhaps opened the door for the killers? Have cleared the way for them, so to speak.
That's an interesting thought. I guess I will... So we'll take a look into that. Thank you, sir.
Does he have a station set up for now that Brightman is dead? Do we know where he is going? Is he?
He apparently is. Once all the matters are settled, we'll be settling in a small cottage out in Wales area.
I see. Well, thank you for your time, sir. I do appreciate you taking the time to come see me.
Well, it's been Most helpful. Most helpful. All right. Let's pop over to Oswald and Connor. You're going to the bank.
Yeah, actually, I have refined my thought a little more. Max or Oswald, please feel free to jump
in. I'm just along for the ride.
All right. So, you know, my intention was to go to Lawton once we got there and see if Thompson shows up kind of unannounced after we make kind of a show. So to give us an excuse with Lawton, I think I'm going to look around for some kind of like a crystal stand with a nice pin, something maybe with a club name on it somewhere. If not, just something really nice. It's like, oh, that'll do nicely. And then call for the butler and see if he can have that boxed up. And then take a case with that thing in it to the bank. And then we'll leave with just that in our hands, obviously about the same size with the box, obviously about the same size as the artifact. And just spell it out very clearly and then go to the museum.
So you're not going to the bank then, or you are going to the bank?
Yes, we are. I just want to make sure that physically we have something to give to Lawton. In fact, why don't we bring the man lunch as a thank you? We'll have the butler put together some things. We can sit and chat with him.
Give him his prize. Not a problem. As you leave the building, in fact, everybody who's leaving the building can go ahead and give me a spot hidden.
Okay. That's going to be a success.
15 is a hard success.
Yeah, same for me. Sorry, I didn't say hard.
Okay. Yes. Heathcliff, did you roll?
Regular
success for Kitty.
06, so that would be an extreme success.
Yes.
It's spot hidden. Yep. Just a hard success. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So you all leave the building. It's not all of you, it sounds like, notice that there's a car parked outside the club with two rough looking gentlemen in it. I believe it's Maud, Kitty, and Heathcliff. You recognize that one of the people in the car was definitely outside of Bingo and Onaria's house.
Well, I think we are letting those two go first, and then we are hoping to follow their followers.
Yes. So as Connor and Oswald leave, are you can walk to the bank from here, and then
that was the plan, as conspicuous as possible.
One of the men leave the car and start to follow after you. The other one remains in place.
All right, I will make sure to slip my brass knuckles on my right hand and in my pocket.
You go into the bank. Probably just stand around for a few minutes, maybe pull out your package, walk back out again. He is there. He has a newspaper half covering his face, but you saw him when you left the building, so it's not a problem to see him again. And as you begin to walk towards the museum, he walks as well.
All right, so when we come out after Connor, Oswald, does this, I guess my thought is, should we split up and somebody follow the follower and somebody watch the guy watching?
I can hang around and watch the guy watching.
All right. We'll dart, you know, across the street like we're going somewhere else, and then watch the watcher, follow the follower. It's getting confused.
And Heathcliff, you're staying there?
Yeah, I'll basically just sort of settle and just find myself in a spot where I can see him, but not be too conspicuous.
Yeah, it's not that hard. So what happens is Oswald and Connor start walking. They are followed by a man. It looks like Kitty and Maud start to follow the follower, and the other man begins to follow Kitty and Maud.
So that's the one I'm watching?
You watch so him then leave and follow. Are you going to follow him then?
Yes, yes.
All right, so we've got a nice duck row here of quack, 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 of everybody following everybody. I'm not even going to make you roll. Kitty and Maud, you are aware that he is following you. If you don't see him, you certainly see Heathcliff.
Kitty, this is, seems to be getting us nowhere. What should we do?
There's a bit of a collision.
We didn't really plan this far ahead, did we?
When you get to, when Oswald and Connor go into the bank, the first follower stops. Kitty and Maud, I assume you stop as well? Mm-hmm. Or do you go and confront this individual? What's your thoughts?
That's what I'm thinking. What should, Kitty, should we go talk to him?
If we turn around and start walking towards him, I wonder if he'd just make some excuse to filter off.
Well, the guy following you was in a car, am I right?
Or no, he got out and started walking as people were walking.
We're all on foot. Yeah.
Okay.
Why not? Let's see what happens. I'm bored of waiting for things to happen to us.
Beautiful.
So yeah, we turn in lockstep and start striding towards this man.
He watches you approach him curiously, pretends to not notice you as he stares across the street at the bank.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
I think I know you.
You actually know the person following you. Yeah. I doubt it, Dame.
Really?
Yeah.
Surely I've seen you hanging around.
How long do you think it takes Connor and Oswald to do the switcheroo? Do you actually wait long enough as if you'd gone into the bank, or do you count to 1,000 and walk out?
No, I'll wait long enough to see if we'd, as if we'd been into the bank.
Okay. No, I'm sure you don't know me.
No. No. Well, maybe I'd like to.
I don't think Kitty can actually hold herself at that, sorry.
He kind of stares at you. Oh, that's fine. the other gentleman approaches.
Oh, the one we do know?
The one you do know approaches?
Oh, yes, yes. I know your compatriot.
And the two of them sort of look at each other uncomfortably and just kind of start walking away a little short distance.
Oh, but aren't you supposed to stay with us? It's going to be very awkward for you.
They kind of look at each other, and then they start walking off at a brisk pace.
So they're not following Connor
and Oswald
at all.
But we just completely confused them.
Should we go follow them?
Well, do we think we can do that unseen? The trouble is, they're following us. We know they're following us. We start following them. We can give it a go.
The followers have become the followees.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it's what I wanted all along.
Yeah, let's go. Walk after him.
Okay. Heathcliff, what are you up to?
I'm actually keeping a bit of a distance, and I'm just going to follow the two groups.
Okay.
But I'm trying not to be a part of.
Great. Give me a stealth roll.
Okay.
That's the only person trying to be stealthy here.
Oh, no, I think we're now trying to be stealthy.
Oh.
Well, Kitty.
I rolled a 20, so that's a success.
Okay. So let us have Kitty and Maud roll stealth rolls.
Okay.
It would be a Delta Green critical, but it's a 33 out of 50, so regular.
I did miss by... Well, it's only by 2. I could spend luck. All right, luck spent.
All right, you follow the two of them. They seem to walk... They are walking towards the museum, having an animated conversation with each other, if you want to give listen rolls.
Ooh. Oh, yes. I have a hard listen roll.
I fail.
Maud, you are... They are discussing... They are agitated, and they have... It's clear that they have no idea how to deal with this situation.
They're not foreign men, though.
They don't look foreign. But they have a slight accent that suggests they were not born and bred in Britain. You heard that the car had been, you know, rented by foreign men, there was, you know, essentially non-white was, you know, wasn't an accent thing that sort of clued them in on that. These two gentlemen don't have the right accent, but you wouldn't necessarily know they were foreign per se. It could have been, you know.
They're leading us to the museum.
They're headed towards the museum, and eventually they get to the museum. Around this time, we'll say that Oswald and... Connor, you will be able to head out and be following behind them. So now we have the two of them, Kitty and Maud, Heathcliff, and Oswald and Connor. So good. They arrive and they begin to speak to... There's a car parked near the museum. Mm-hmm. And they... knock on the window and begin to have a conversation with a gentleman inside. Could you each give me another stealth roll?
Oh, 04, extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I made it, yes, just a regular.
Okay.
Every point in there.
Excellent. You wanna, and I'll let the listen roll carry there. You're sort of cooned in their voice. They're having a conversation with somebody, and they, you know, they're trying to figure out sort of how to regroup here. They're clearly like, well, you were supposed to follow them, but then they found us and we never were told what to do when that happened. The boss isn't going to be happy. You don't want to make the boss unhappy. You know what happens to people when the boss is unhappy. Go back there and find them. And so the two of them turn around. I'm going to let you hold on to your stealth rolls, but I am going to have Heathcliff give me another stealth roll.
Yeah. Okay, so... 80 fail.
So they miss the Kitty and Maud, the two of them, as they walk back towards the bank again, but they absolutely run into Heathcliff. And they approach you. Are you following us?
Who are you? And he'll continue walking on.
But you're going to keep walking on?
Mm-hmm.
They will sort of be a little perplexed by this, but then continue walking back to the bank. I don't think that Oswald and Connor are trying to hide themselves. They're specifically trying to be noticeable.
Yes.
So at some point, the two of you, as you're walking back, you see one of the gentlemen who followed you, the two gentlemen who are outside the club, are now walking towards you in the opposite direction of where you thought they would.
Would you say they're walking towards us menacingly? Like, ooh, there they are, and they furrow brows and quicken their pace? Or would you say that it's happened to be walking in our direction nonchalantly, as if nothing were happening, and whistling?
They see the two of you. They see you are carrying an item that you just took out of the bank from their eyes, because you were so clever. And they begin to move quickly towards you.
Is it Oswald? Oswald.
Yeah, I see him. So at this point, I think, how public is it, the street that we're on?
It's a lovely day in the streets of London. It's very public.
And populated? Lots of people,
yes,
there?
Yes, there are people walking around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is there an alley we can duck into?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think duck into the alley, and then I'm going to hand... my handgun, I'll pull that out and I'll hand that over to
Connor.
To Connor and say, you know how to use one of these, right?
My God, man. Yes, of course.
Okay.
You think we'll need it?
Well, yeah. I mean, we both
they're in the alleyway. They're headed towards you as you're having this conversation.
Yeah. Cool.
And they pull out their guns.
All right.
Now hold my hands up. Work.
Okay, so...
I've got the gun in one hand and the package in the other.
Connor is holding up his hands. Oswald is realizing perhaps he should have held on to the gun.
We have two guns. We found extra guns.
Did you?
Two 38s here written on the character sheet. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Wrong character sheet.
Oh no!
Yes, no! I have a Webley that I gave to him, and then I have my ankle derringer, but that's not out. I have my brass knuckles.
If you want to pull out your derringer, it certainly would have been reasonable to do so.
Yeah, sure, I'll do that. Yeah,
I thought if you were just going to do a gun and I thought you were going to sort of brass knuckle them, but if you were
I was going to threaten them, but now they have their guns out, so.
So you're going to reach down for your, so let's say that was your plan, yeah, to threaten them with a gun and whatever, so if you want to reach for it, they can see you reaching for it.
I'm not going to reach for it with okay. guns drawn, but, you know, brass knuckles bared and Connor having the gun, saying, like, why are you following us? Who do you work for?
It's not your concern. Drop the gun, you.
No, don't drop the gun, Connor.
We can talk about this. But
we can talk about it when you drop the gun.
You can have my wallet.
Don't want your wallet. I want you to drop the gun.
If you're police, you better show your badges.
And they just laugh at that.
I don't think they're police, Connor.
I don't like the looks of this.
They're here to take.
Wait, Oswald realized he may not be with the most bright member of the team.
They're here to take the statue. That's what I say.
Well, they can't have it.
And I'll take it and take the box and put it in my pocket or something. I don't know how big it is. I forgot.
Well, hold on. Let's stop for a minute here. What did Kitty and Maud do when the two started walking away? Did you?
Well, I think we would have continued following.
Yeah, I thought that's what we were doing.
Oh, that's fine. I'm just asking. So as you continue following, at some point you run into Heathcliff, who is trying to look nonchalant as he walks the opposite way. Heathcliff, are you going to join the pack?
Yeah, he's going to basically just tag along behind the pack.
All right, so there's been enough delaying by Connor. I mean, brilliant strategy by Connor, that the three of you can be in the back of the alley as this confrontation is going on.
That's right. Well, let's see. Let's whack them. Caught a handbag.
Sorry, that was hard to hear, Rachel.
That was faint, yeah.
Sorry, I had to move my... Let's sneak up behind him. I pull a kosh out of my handbag.
Oh, great minds think alike. I pull out mine as well.
Heathcliff? Are you also preparing? Are you also mute?
I am mute. Sorry about that. He'll sort of slip his hand into his coat where he's got his pistol just at the ready, but not out visible.
All right. So I need all three of you to give me stealth rolls. We're in a high adrenaline situation here. The two of you are planning on sneaking up between two guys who are armed.
I got a 13, so that's a hard.
I got a 0.5, so that's an extreme.
Got a 0.6, so I'll complete the nice little display of competence for once.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I apologize. You said stealth. Mine is actually a hard. Not a
That's fine. A 0.6 is probably always going to succeed at such a thing. Yes. So I will give the three of you a surprise round here, if you will. If you each one are, I mean, are you? You let's do the two cautious first.
Yep. I guess we take one each. Fighting brawl. 45 regular success.
I have had some luck to make a regular success.
All right. Roll some damage.
Shea Connor, if you come after us, you better watch out for ninjas.
7 points of damage.
Wow.
It's a D8?
Yep.
I got 4.
Okay. So the first guy goes down unconscious.
Nice.
Having taken more than half his hit points in damage.
Damn.
Heathcliff, you have your gun out. Obviously there's a guy who's standing, turns around to see what's going on immediately behind him at close range. Connor and, Oswald, what do you do with this?
Well, now that they're distracted, the ones that are still standing, I'm going to rush at them.
Right. We will go in dex order. Dame Agatha is home with a cold. Kitty, you may go next.
I suppose another kosh attack.
Okay.
Oh, shit. I knew my good rolls had to come to an end. 95. So, fail.
Okay. Oswald's is next because Montgomery isn't here.
Yep, I'm rushing this guy to bash him in the jaw.
Okay.
That's a failure. Not a fumble, just a failure.
Okay. Connor? A kosh, by the way, is a blackjack type thing.
Right? Ah, thank you. Yes. So I'll take what is hopefully the simplest thing, level the gun at him and say, now you're surrounded, drop it.
Okay. Maud, what are you doing?
Since I beat him once, I will beat him again. But that time we all fail.
He will shoot at Maud.
Aw, damn it.
Dear.
He is a close. Ooh, that's not good. Oh, Maud, I'm very sorry. 6 points of damage.
I will roll my con check. And I will barely make it, like spot on.
All right. And Heathcliff.
I mean, I'm going to try. I don't actually. So there's not been any gunfire at this stage, has there?
No. He just shot Maud.
Then I'll shoot him.
All right. Keep in mind, Maud is right next to him. She is in melee with him. He is sort of shooting right at her. So if you miss, we'll roll to see if you might have hit Maud instead.
Yeah, I think he'll still... Heathcliff would shoot him.
Perfect.
He's ex-military, so... He's an officer.
Sure.
So that's a 24, which is a hard success.
Yeah, go ahead and roll for damage.
I haven't actually got the damage down from this gun. It's just a standard pistol.
It's military. A D10, then.
D10, okay. Six points of damage.
And he goes down, dead. All right. Maud is injured. There is an unconscious man near you, and the rest of you are sort of gasping for breath. There are definitely onlookers starting to sort of peer down the alleyway, but is the way of things. They're not rushing down to get involved. They're just sort of looking down. Oh, what was that? And sort of backing their heads back out again. That natural human curiosity without the temperament to actually be helpful.
Oh dear. Taxi. I'm going to try and get her to hospital. We need help.
Yeah, Heathcliff. If Heathcliff can see a taxi or something, he'll basically grab him, you know, step out in front of the vehicle to stop it.
Yeah, no, it is not a problem to find a taxi to take Maud. Who's taking Maud to the hospital?
I'll pick her up and bring her to the taxi.
Okay, so Kitty and Oswald will take off for the hospital. What are the rest of you doing?
I think heading towards the... Was it the bank?
No, we've been to the bank. It was the museum. I'll make sure.
The museum. I couldn't remember. Bank or museum. Head towards the museum.
I'll give Oswald his, Webley back and make sure I squeeze Maud's hands. It's all right. And then I guess we'll go to the museum.
Make it worth it. Question them.
One of them's still alive.
Kitty, what are you doing?
I forgot we have the unconscious guy.
I was taking more to hospital, but shake my head at these two.
I totally thought they were dead. I mean, I'll check if there is one alive. I'll sort of just, slap in the face if he's unconscious or, pull him up and go, okay, tell us what's happening.
All right, so you're slapping him awake. Kitty, are you, Kitty, you're there. Connor, you're there as well.
Yeah, I guess I would have given the Webley back to Oswald, say goodbye. And,
well, the two of them had around. Guns. I assume you take the gun from the unconscious guy as well.
Yeah, I was about to say, and I can kind of go through his pockets and stuff like that, or give him the once over, hopefully before he gets slapped awake. But if I'm too slow, I'm too slow. I'll wait.
No. There's certainly, time to stop that from happening. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So just kind of go through, see if he has any ID or whatever, anything we can find out about this guy.
He has no wallet on him. He has a little clip for holding some money, paper money on him, small amount of change on him.
Is his money clip empty?
No, he has money in it.
Oh, okay. I'll toss that aside disdainfully. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, Heathcliff, you are able to sort of wake him up. And he stares at you. Connor, did you pick up a gun? Are you holding a gun on him? Are either of you holding a gun on him? Or any of you holding a gun on
him? I'm holding my gun on him.
Okay.
I can certainly be holding. I mean, there's two. Who else?
Kitty is there as well.
Kitty is there. Did Kitty have a gun? There's enough guns we can all be pointing.
Did you go to the hospital? You two went off the hospital. Yes. So it is
Maud, Kitty, and Oswald in the hospital? Or did you say Oswald?
Yes. Yes, that's right. So it is just Connor and Heathcliff here.
I picked up Maud to carry her.
Right. Did you go with her to the hospital or did you stay here?
I would have gone.
Okay.
Because that way no one's going to get to Maud or Kitty.
All right. So then we have Heathcliff and we have Connor here.
Yes.
And staring over guns. A guy that Heathcliff is just shaken awake.
Yeah. I will pocket one gun and hold the other one out.
Okay. He looks up. He thinks about trying to escape. He sees the gun and says, perhaps not. And he just glares at you.
Well, what's your name, son?
Robbins.
Robin J. Well, I suppose you know who the two of us are. What you mean by all this? Violence and following and shenanigans.
Just after the artifacts.
What artifacts?
You know, the ones are at the museum.
How do you know which they are? You don't seem like a museum type to me.
We get told to look for things and we look for them.
So what are you looking for now?
You have statues. There's a statue in that bag, right?
Perhaps. I'll keep it. And where else have you been looking?
We're trying to find things from the museum. Things have gone missing from the museum. We're trying to find them. I don't know. I just got told to follow you, and if I saw a statue, to grab it.
Are you telling me you work for the museum, son? It's not a very good story. You might want to.
I don't work for the museum.
Maybe we should just come down to it then. And who is having you find these things? If you're not in charge, who is? And what are they?
I'm not gonna rat. Guy who employs us. Yeah, no. There's nothing you can do that's gonna scare me more than him.
Well, the guy who employs you isn't here now, and quite honestly, while I'm a bit of a pushy cat, my colleague here has already killed one of your colleagues in cold blood, and I will kind of bend down and pick up the guy's head. That is, you know.
Pick up his head.
I don't imagine his head has been decapitated. I just mean, you know, sort of pick him up to show him the lifeless body.
Look. The guy who employed us wants us to find these artifacts from Nineveh. That's what he said, Nineveh. He's a wealthy guy, apparently. He's paying well.
Damn it, man, who is he?
He said if we found anything, and at this point, he starts to shake. He starts to almost convulse in front of you. And you watch as it's as if someone had put a fire inside his body. There's that smell of burnt flesh. You see, you know, the burns start to appear on his skin.
What's it, Humphrey?
Cries out, and it is truly one of the worst things you've ever seen, certainly worthy of a sanity roll.
That sounds right. Oh, a 96. This is quite disturbing and shocking.
93.
Great.
We're both very disturbed.
Did I do that?
Let's do some intelligence rolls here.
Oh, yeah. Got to do those.
91. Oh.
The perfect combination. I have a hard success on my intelligence roll.
I failed mine.
All right. So roll a d6, Gary, for your sand loss. I guess I should have done that before I made you roll.
Nope, 5.
5, good. So that makes sense. Yeah, so you lose 5 points of sanity. Steve, you'll lose 6 points of sanity. And how would you like your subsequent insanity bout to manifest itself, or should I just pick it for you?
I have some ideas, but it would be much more fun, I think, to have you pick it for me.
I would have just rolled. So if you have ideas, go with your ideas.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't think it's going to run screaming from the alleyway or start gibbering or anything, but I do think he'll just like drop his guns and kind of be insensible and kind of just back up and, you know, the far side of the alley and kind of sit down and kind of curl into a ball kind of thing and just not be able to be roused for quite a while. And maybe I'll be fearful of fire for a while too.
Interesting. So that's fine. Let's give you a slight phobia about fire.
Yes, let's do that.
And you just sort of collapse into a corner. At this point, a police officer does show up, surveying the scene, and will take both of your statements. And we will have you be occupied with that for some period of time. It is not a problem for the rest of you to get to the hospital. Maude, are you interested in staying overnight? Do you just want them to sort of dress the wounds a bit? What's your...
I was knocked down by half, so I think a stay overnight is probably warranted.
Okay. You may stay overnight and roll whatever one rolls for that level of treatment, and if we can work it out offline.
Yeah.
Kitty and Oswald, what are you doing?
I'll stay with Maud until she's discharged.
And I think I probably would stay probably just outside in a place where I could watch the comings and goings to their room, because it doesn't seem safe leaving people alone currently.
Okay. It is, as is required with a gunshot wound, at some point a police officer will appear and ask you to describe what happened. How would you like to describe these events, Maude?
Well, I imagine I'm sedated.
Well, that's fine. Kitty's right there. Perhaps she could describe what happened.
Yes, I'll be reasonably honest. We seem to be being tailed by these people, and when we and our friends went to confront them, they pulled guns out and escalated the situation.
The officer will take notes dutifully. Back at the Heathcliff, Connor is a bit incapacitated for just a short period of time, but the police officer will ask you what happened.
He will slip his, as he sees the police officer, he'll slip his gun into back into his coat and go, these two gentlemen, or these two people, they attacked a woman, a friend's. Some people came and grabbed her to take her to the hospital.
Right, he will record your statement, get your names and the like.
Yeah, well, I'll give him details, my name and that.
Others will arrive. There's, two dead bodies here, one under very unusual circumstances. It's not a quick conversation, so they will... They'll spend some time. Roger, is there anything you want to do with the rest of your day? It seems to be taking the others quite a while to get back from a simple trip to the museum.
Well, there is a midday meal to be had.
As always. Mid-morning meal, even.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Beyond that, possibly check in to see the make sure the cleaners are making appropriate progress at my home. But nothing related to the actual...
By noon, they tell you it's all cleaned up. You can come right back, sir.
Oh, excellent. I will be home this evening.
All right, then. Well, I'm going to sort of waive time for a little bit then. I mean, let me just ask Connor and... Heathcliff, is there anything else you wanted to do? This is going to take... You guys started in the morning. This is, this is early afternoon before you're free.
Yeah, well, once we're free, I'll sort of go, I've got to get my, I'll sort of try to hurry up and say, look, I've got to get my friend. Look at, sort of point to my friend who's sort of quivering in the corner. I need to get him to the hospital.
He's recovered by then, but certainly
okay.
Nobody disputes that Connor seems to be made of lesser stuff somehow. And certainly they will let you take him to the hospital.
Yeah, check your own mod for sure.
She's sedated.
Yep. But I have some of those.
And with that, I think that's the rest of today. Roger, during the day, Sykes will bring you a note saying that Theodore Raymond Price would like to meet with your group tomorrow morning if it is convenient. And there's no return number or anything like that, but just simply says, oh, he'll be here at the club tomorrow morning around 10 if we'd like to meet with your group.
Of course.
And I think with that, we will actually stop this session.